Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Acts chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 12, a few verses. Remember how we left our last study? Verse 11 reminds us of that. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. The people of God are never in a better spiritual state than when they fear the Lord, as is here referred to. Now, the fear spoken of here is not a state of being frightened, but the word fear carries a meaning of reverence and respect, so that the people, as a result of what had happened, you remember Ananias and Sapphira were judged because of their sinful deceit and their attempt to bluff the Lord, and they were judged. And as a result of that judgment, people respected God. They reverenced God. They saw his power. They saw that he knew the thoughts of Ananias and Sapphira, and that nothing could be hidden from him. And I tell you, we haven't a right attitude toward God unless, like these people, we have a reverence, a respect, a regard, a high opinion of God. And when that is the case, then Christians are in a good place. Their heart is right with God. Today, of course, out there in the world, very, 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 very few people ever give a thought to God. They take his name in vain, and they don't even realize they're doing that, because God has no place in their thoughts. They have no regard for him, no reverence for him. They trample over his word. They blaspheme his name. They desecrate the Lord's day. And it means nothing to them. Nothing whatsoever. And that's the very opposite to how things were here. Let's read then from verse 12, because verse 11 sets up what's about to happen. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. You see, where there is a reverence for God, God will work and do great things as his word is preached, and that's what's happening here. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. So believers were on their own, gathered on their own, and the unbelievers that were there in Jerusalem, they respected them. They didn't join them because they knew there was a difference, but they realized there's something very special about these people. They magnified them. They praised them. Again, that's not like today. Sure it's not. Out there in the world, there is nothing more despised and laughed at than the Christian. They don't laugh at the Muslim. They're scared of the Muslim. Scared for all the wrong reasons. But the Christian, they just mock the Christian. Mock the Savior, mock the Bible. But that is not the attitude here in this chapter. There is a reverence for the Lord, and there's a reverence for his people. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. Multitudes getting saved. Think of that. Hundreds and hundreds of people were getting saved. So the spiritual atmosphere in Jerusalem at this time among the Christians was very, very good indeed. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now, this is the amazing degree to which the people had a regard to the gospel and to the servants of God. They thought that Peter passing by, if a shadow fell upon the sick, good would come of that. Verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem. So it wasn't just in Jerusalem, it's spreading, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one, multitudes healed, multitudes saved and converted. Things were going very well for the gospel. Things were going very well for the gospel. In this latter portion of the chapter 5, I'm going to look with you over, well, the next couple of weeks at least, at the subjects of miracles, madness, metal, and merriment. Metal, not in the sense of iron and steel, but metal meaning boldness, bravery. M-E-T-T-L-E. You can look it up in your dictionary. And merriment, for there was joy. The wickedness of the religious leaders in Jerusalem, in the face of the great evidence of the workings of God to a wonderful degree, indicates that these religious leaders were a people abandoned by God. If in the midst of revival there are those who just take no heed whatsoever to what God is doing, and more than that, they oppose it, then those who do that are indicating that they have been abandoned by God. God's having nothing more to do with them. I have to tell you a little story that I remember Dr. Paisley telling not long after I was saved. He was preaching one night and I had driven him to the meeting, and toward the end of his message he told the story of a man who in one of his meetings some years before, who stayed behind in a most anxious state, troubled. And he said to Dr. Paisley, "I want you please to show me how I can be saved. I'm greatly troubled. I know I'm not saved. Please show me how I can be saved." So Dr. Paisley happily did that and opened his Bible and brought him to various portions of Scripture that show that if a sinner comes to Christ repenting and believing the gospel, he'll be welcomed and he'll be saved by the Lord. And he spent some time at explaining these verses. When he had more or less concluded, he looked to the man to see what his reaction would be, and the man says, "I can't see it. Show it to me." So Dr. Paisley explained again, using more verses, for the Bible's full of verses that shows the way of salvation. And so he gave him more and more verses and looked to him again for a reaction. The man said, "I can't see it." And then he went on to say, "I've spoken to many preachers. I've spoken to W.P. Nicholson, who was a great revival preacher back in the 20s and 30s. And they couldn't show me." He says, "I remember one night I could see it. I saw plainly how I could be saved. But I said to the Lord, I don't want to be saved. I'm not getting saved." And he says, "Ever since that, I've never been able to see how to be saved. Please show me, Dr. Paisley." And Dr. Paisley tried again and again that night to show that man from God's word how he could be saved. But the man couldn't see it. And do you know why? He had rejected the Lord Jesus and God had left him. There is a sin spoken of in the Bible as the unpardonable sin. There's no pardon for it. And it's that sin of rejecting Christ for the last time, crossing the line, and God abandons that sinner. And I think there's every sign here that God had abandoned the religious leaders in Jerusalem. I say the religious leaders because, first and foremost, we see multitudes of the ordinary people in Jerusalem getting saved, so they weren't abandoned. But later on in the chapter, we see the religious leaders coming out in anger against the apostles. Why? Because people were getting saved. People were getting healed. God was being glorified, and this annoyed them. And that shows that they were men abandoned by God. Because, boys and girls, no impression can be made upon anyone through gospel preaching who has been abandoned by God, because only God can soften our hearts, make us realize that we're lost and undone and we need the Savior. And if God doesn't do that, even an angel could make no impression on anyone who has been abandoned by God. So that's what we're dealing with here. That's what we're dealing with. These leaders were men whose hearts were so hard, untouched by God, that nothing impressed them. They just were against the Lord. We're going to consider the miracles that were taking place before the eyes of these evil men. For they had every reason to marvel at what God was doing, but it didn't have any impression on them. First of all, we're going to notice that all these wonderful miracles were taking place in Jerusalem. That's significant. This is right in the place where the Lord Jesus had been rejected. The place where the religious leaders had told lies, made up stories, and led false accusations against the Lord Jesus. Right on the doorstep, if we might put it like that, of these wicked men, God was showing his mercy, showing his grace, and showing his power. Was that not kind of God, that he should do this before the eyes of the most wicked of men? Oh, boys and girls, I want you to learn how kind is the Lord, how long-suffering, how when he, as it were, could judge men and send them immediately to hell. He doesn't, but rather he sets forth his mercy and his kindness. But upon these men it made no impression, none whatsoever. But then you see, this was a city that was condemned. It had but a short time to continue to exist, because the Lord Jesus, before he was crucified, on one occasion said this, you old ones, look up, Luke chapter 19, verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. I always marvel at that. He's weeping over the city that's going to crucify him. Does this not show the mercy and kindness of God? Listen to me. If you're not saved today, the Lord looks on you in mercy, and yet you are turning your back upon him, shutting your ears to his kind offer of mercy, and yet he's concerned and anxious regarding you. Just like he is here, weeping over Jerusalem, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day. Oh, it was their day of mercy, their day of opportunity. The things which belong unto thy peace, the things which if you obey will bring you eternal peace. If you had known that, if you'd only listened and known the things that would bring you peace. But now they are hid from your eye. It's as if, boys and girls, God had switched the light off and they couldn't see the way of salvation anymore. Just like that man I was talking about. For the death shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round or surround you, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, level with the ground, and thy children within thee. Boys and girls were going to perish as a result of mums and dads rejecting the gospel. They shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. This is the city of Jerusalem. Its fate is sealed, but even so God is still in mercy working amongst that city. Indeed, it would be another 40 years before the Lord brought the judgment that the Saviour spoke of in Luke chapter 19 upon them. That's how kind God is, boys and girls. That's how kind He is. I lived for 20 years rejecting the gospel, and God was kind to me, preserved me. I deserved to be cut off and sent to hell, but God didn't do that. There's none of you, boys and girls, who are 20 years of age today, but so far in your life you have been rejecting the gospel, and God could have cut you off, but He hasn't. And here am I today, sent by Him to invite you to Christ, that you might be saved. So these wonderful events that we're looking at, they're happening in Jerusalem. They're happening in Jerusalem. We're told that the miracles and the preaching took place in Solomon's porch. Solomon's porch. Now, that's verse 12. Among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now that was part of the temple building. It was probably an open area, big area, that would hold an awful lot of people, probably thousands. And it was a place where the Saviour had preached. And now the apostles are doing the same. They're preaching in the same place. I'm sure among the people who listened to the apostles' preaching, there were those who would have remembered the Saviour preaching in the same place. And as the apostles preached the gospel, they would have remembered that's what Jesus of Nazareth said. He whom we crucified, He whom we rejected. And I am sure that many of the older people listening would have been greatly convicted of their sin and of the shameful way they had treated the Saviour, and they would have been broken down by God, and they were saved. Multitudes were saved there in that place, Solomon's porch. How kind is God? The very place where the Lord Jesus would have been mocked and despised and rejected was the place where God showed mercy. That reminds us of the cross, doesn't it? Because at the cross the Saviour was mocked and despised, and even one of those crucified with Him had mocked Him, but His heart was turned and changed, and that thief was converted, and that very day went to heaven. But the Saviour said, when you die, and die He would very soon, for He was crucified, you will be with Me in paradise. Oh, how kind is God. How kind is God. We're told that there were many wonders wrought, not just the gospel preached, but God, as it were, emphasized the truth of the gospel by working wonderful miracles. Wonders and signs were wrought among the people, verse 12. Now God doesn't do this all the time, but there are times when God especially visits people, and when the gospel is preached, he does wonderful things. He doesn't do it all the time, but we have a record of the times He did do it, and that's every bit as good. In the closing verses of John's gospel, chapter 21, verse 24, this is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. So when you read the four Gospels and also the Acts of the Apostles and see the wonders God did, you're only reading a tiny portion of what God has done. But these things are recorded for you to read and believe. We're not living in the days like those when the Saviour walked on the earth. But we can, as it were, visit those days. And every day I read my Bible, and I walk with the prophets and the apostles, and I see what they saw, and I hear what they heard, because it's recorded here for me to learn. And boys and girls, the many signs and wonders that were wrought back then, while they are not taking place today to the same degree, nevertheless, we can revisit those days as we read the Bible, because everything recorded in this book is absolutely true. The last thing I want to say very quickly is this. The miracles were of the most amazing nature. There are miracles, and they are the most amazing things, but then there are amazing miracles. The verses 14 to 16 of this portion says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women." Why? Because they were seeing things that were convincing them of the truth of the gospel. Insomuch they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, everyone. Just think of that. Sickness almost disappeared in the city of Jerusalem at that time. When God comes down amongst his people, there is created, boys and girls, such a time. It's heavenly. It's a touch of heaven. In heaven there's no sickness, there's no death, there's no sorrow, there's no pain, there's no tears. And when God comes down with gospel power amongst the people, there's a little bit of heaven created. And I can remember when that happened to me. I remember well the night I learned that I was saved. And I walked home with a sense of joy and peace that I cannot explain to you. It was so wonderful. And that's the experience of the people of God in the day of God's blessing. In the day of God's blessing. So, this is the first study, the miracles that were wrought by God in the day of his blessing. Oh, that you might be one of the miracles, that you might be changed and saved by coming to Christ. Let's bow in prayer. We ask thee, Lord, to bless your word. I pray that the weak words of man may take on the power of God and come home to the hearts of the boys and girls today with saving power. Bless our school. We thank thee for this place where the gospel may be preached by the very help of God. Answer our prayers today for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.